Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This Vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I knew back from high school were posting stuff that was factually inerrant. And then I went ahead and I posted what I wanted, which was corrections. And they didn't like that. Part of this is also to follow through with the old idea that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I am known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under that name on all the social media for the most part. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and I'm an unabashed atheist. Got a couple of things that we're going to tell you guys about before we get started, but let's go ahead and introduce everybody. As usual, starting off all the way off to the left, north of the border, good evening, Dallin.
Listening to that intro 69 times in the past 3 days, and this is the one you finally screw it up. Oh, well. Anyways, good evening, folks. Online known as Dallin, born and raised in north central Canada to a Lutheran family. Religion wasn't a very large part of my life. Yes, I went to church on Sundays, but that was about it. My parents always encouraged me to never stop learning, always ask questions, and keep an open mind above all. And that has served me very well in my personal and professional life thus far. And up until recently, I was fairly laid back, a live and let live kind of guy, until I saw what fundamentalism was doing to my friends down south. And then I realized it was time to take a stand. And so I did.
Yeah, you keep it up with that kind of drawn-out stuff. We're going to have to play out. We'll have to pull an Emmy on you or an Oscar on you.
Yeah, good luck. Shut up. Moving to the south of the border, over into the Midwest. Good evening, Bridget.
Hi, I'm Bridget Fitch. I was born and raised in the South, now living in the Midwest. I was raised Church of Christ, and my family put the fun in the mental in fundamentalist. I am currently recovering from fundamentalism and used to be a live and let live kind of a person until I saw all the damage that religion has done not only to myself but to others. And now I speak out and fight back as best I can.
Moving to the east and south of me, into Pittsburgh. Good morning, Joey. You do realize that you need to use that little mute button, right?
Yeah. Sorry, the cards thing was messing up.
Maybe we'll have to play you out.
Or in.
Hi, everybody. My name's Joe.
That's going to play out really good on audio, man. Nice.
I don't need the people in audio to see me threatening tech with a knife.
Good point.
That's not
anyway,
getting cut.
Something is. I was born to an Irish Catholic family in Chicago, Illinois, and spent 10 years or 8 years in the military. I am now about 3 years out, living in Pittsburgh as a graphic designer and an atheist.
8 years in the military is the longest decade of your life right there, wasn't it? I know. Up mine too. Moving to the east a little bit further, over into... What town do I even put you into? I don't even remember. I just call it Maryland and just be done with it.
It's all the same.
Yeah, that's true.
And now I'm going to be getting all that Marylander hate mail.
Sure. Good morning, Tech.
Good morning, everybody. Unwritten Tech, born to a mixed religious background. I was always encouraged to ask questions. And having practiced and studied and tried out several religions and learned about other ones and then observing the world around me, I've come to the conclusion it's all just a bunch of crock. And I discovered that later in life than most people. You know, like Cash on Atheist on Air, I envy the younger generation that figured it out much, much earlier on than I did. And here I am.
Okay. Moving across the water over to England. Good morning, Chris.
Oh, good morning. I'm Chris, currently based in Preston in the north of England. Raised nominally sort of Catholic, but it never really took. Never really made a lot of sense to me, and I generally sort of forgot about the whole thing until maybe sort of 5 years ago, where I started seeing the amount of damage in the world that religion and other beliefs were making, and started to speak out a bit more.
And moving south through the channel over to France. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. Why am I always last?
because I go from west to east.
Oh, okay. We need somebody from the Eastern Bloc then. My name's Joseph. I was born in London, Ontario, Canada, and moved here to France in 1989. I was brought up in an Anglican family, and I saw... I'm getting an echo.
Yes. Let's go ahead and, if at all possible, we can just mute those of us that can.
Okay. I was brought up in an Anglican family, and I just kind of got tired of seeing people educated and nothing useful disseminating divisiveness through the world. And today I'm doing everything I can to promote critical thinking and independent thought.
All right. So as folks would notice, and yes, I'm putting the disclaimer even before I get started with everything, this is episode number 70. This is one of our traditional Power of 10 episodes. So I warn everyone at the beginning of it all, before you get into any kind of trouble, this is always specifically a not safe for work episode. This is non-family friendly. So if for whatever reason you should not be listening to the big seven terms... Now would be a good time to go ahead and just pause, wait till later, not listen, because at this point you're on your own. And if you're still listening at this point, fuck y'all. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
If you're easily offended by such names as George Carlin or Dennis Leary, now's the time to see yourself to the door, fuckwad.
So we're going to go ahead and get things started. We've got a couple of things I'm going to have to tell you about as we get into it, but this is going to be an unusual episode, so we will see how this plays out. As always, yes, with 5 minutes... Oh, yeah, there's Luna. 5 minutes on the clock. There it is, with apologies to Noah, Heath, and Lucinda, and Heath, wherever the hell you are. I hope that glory hole was tasty. Your five-minute freestyle starts now. I was going to see about getting Gaytheist Callie on with us, who was on with us last week. Wonderful, wonderful lady. Love her. I was going to see about getting Sam Mulvey on with us. Unfortunately, he's off at a concert tonight. Lucky guy. And the reason why is because we had something monumental, and I have no way of otherwise putting it. It was a huge, huge day yesterday, with the Supreme Court of the United States of America finally coming out and saying, you know what? It's the last day of our session, and I guess we really have to go ahead and deal with this whole marriage thing. And they finally came out and said, one law, one people, one rule. Quote, unquote, same-sex marriage is finally the law of the land across these great United States of ours. And there's a couple of things about it. Yeah, it's cool to have Facebook or Twitter or G+ open up and suddenly just rainbows regurgitated all over my screen. I got no problem with that. I was right there with y'all. And yes, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna say that one. And you know what? I'm from the north. Tough. I'll use it if I want to. It was great to be able to see all these people. Sir Ian, with his little Vine video, the White House with the colors at night, and people saying, "Oh, wait, that's not a Photoshop job. the Empire State Building, places all over where people are just saying, it's about fucking time. The reason why I wanted to have Sam Mulvey on is because a while ago, the guys over at Ask an Atheist actually went trolling, finding out from people, please send us what is your best non-religious reason why marriage should not be equal for everyone. And as I understand it, and the reason why I want to have Sam on is, to best of my knowledge, the best answer that they got, the most compelling rationale for not having marriage open to everyone was, it's icky. Really, that's the best you can come up with. It's not a compelling legal reason. And the reason why I wanted to have Callie on is for something that she said last week. It's not over. Not by a long stretch. It's not over. On two fronts. Item number one, in the United States, when the Civil Rights Act finally came through that said that, you know, it's painful for me to say it, but it's in context, it's correct. Colors are allowed to mix with the white folk. And they're actually human, and they're not subhuman like we've always seen them to be. It's like dirt in my mouth to even think of saying it, but I got to put it in perspective. Even to this day, 40 years later, we're still dealing with people who have still not fulfilled Dr. King's dream. 40 years plus on. So the same-sex thing is still going to be hounding at us. There's phone numbers that have been set up, hotlines, so that if you go to your local group and they say they don't want to go ahead and issue you your marriage license in your town or your county or your state, call us so that we can get that taken care of. The fact that's even got to be an issue speaks volumes. The idea that there are states here in my country where you can be fired from your job for, well, first off, for no reason, but for them to say you are part of the LGBTQI group. You know what? I don't want you in my establishment. I don't want you working for me. Goodbye. Without so much as a buy your leave. And that's it. The discrimination is still going to be there. It's wonderful. And I drink heartily that the court came down the only possible way that it should. But we've still got so much more work yet ahead of us. And just like the dominoes, as I mentioned before, it's just going to be one piece after another. I will live to see it fulfilled. America. Fuck yeah. Get on the rest of that shit, would you? And as an aside to all of those who have been saying, I'm just going to move to Canada, Dallin, let me see. It's been 10 years for you guys for same-sex marriage, isn't it?
It's been 10 years for same-sex marriage.
And you have a socialized medicine system that seems to work fairly well?
Yes, and relatively strict firearms laws. So to any of you bigoted, shit-spewing, hate-mongering motherfuckers who think that they can come north and mess up my country, go to Iraq, please. I think that's about the only place left on this planet that will accept your ilk.
Okay, one thing, I've been there, done that. The second thing, you had me up until the gun, you know, the strict gun law thing. Beyond that, I'm cool.
Well, there's rationales on both sides of that.
Yeah,
one.
But allow me to throw a couple of caveats in there. You can own weaponry.
unless your name is Joseph, and you've been in the military.
I've known
and
people.
And your sanity is questionable.
Yeah, well, by that definition, Joe, you shouldn't have any weapons even where you are right now.
Ooh, burn.
Yeah, well, come take them.
Yeah, you see, same thing. No, I've known people who have automatic weapons, who own handguns. I have seen a guy. A guy told me about how he apparently shot a bear with a .357. I'm not sure
okay,
how
you are.
That is, but anyways.
But yeah, if you live in bear country, it's not uncommon for people to carry around a Magnum or something like that.
Look, we already know what cosmonauts do about bears, okay? We don't need to touch on that one. You know, we went over that all night last night.
Oh, comrade, that is wrong Arctic wasteland. You're talking Siberia, not Manitoba, okay?
What's the difference?
One has got a
our beer tastes better.
What has got
well, one's been hit by a meteorite or two, and...
and one we're all just a bunch of drunks out for a rip, eh?
Well, that really does not narrow it down.
Yes, fair point. Yes, but no, it's been actually amusing watching all these people saying, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to move to Canada. Yeah, and you're going to get your eyes open so fucking wide at the culture shock, I'm hoping. And to think, just a few short years ago, I would have said at that point, I'm praying, that the culture shock will give you a fucking heart attack.
Yep.
And that, you know, the wall that a couple of your crackpot GOP senators wanted to build, you know, like they actually wanted to build a wall between the U.S. and Canada.
Really?
Would not...
Look, you ain't even finished the one with Mexico yet, and that's like maybe half the distance.
Yeah. All I'm saying is... it will probably be composed of the bodies of all the people who die of culture shock when they realize that Canada is nowhere to run if you're trying to run away from gay marriage.
Can Justin Bieber supply the mortar?
Yeah,
straight across the Bering Straits to Russia, isn't it?
Well, just outside the back door, right. And the item last
from the backyard.
Item last that I need to put onto this one before I finally get us with legit stuff over here is,
oh boy,
let's not forget, over there with you guys, Dallin, do you or do you not actually have women on your currency as well as rainbow-colored currency?
Yeah,
actually, yes. If you look at all of our bills, they are indeed color-coded. As a
they melt in your pocket, not in your hand.
Well, actually, no, they still might melt in your pocket, especially if it was as barking as hot as it was here today. Anyway, as another internet personality friend of ours once said, it gets better. I caught this article not too long ago. Now, Shujin, you know this. We have our, you know, slowly. Our money has been changing from paper to plastic to metal.
Yep.
Not necessarily in that order. Now, okay, so we have the loonie. And after that, we had the toonie, the $2 coin.
I like to sing. I like loony toonies.
Oh, it gets better, Joseph. It gets better. Word has it that there may soon be the moonie.
Good night, folks.
The Looney Tunes going to the Mooney.
Shut up. A $5 coin, kind of the same architecture as the Toonie, except the inner piece will actually be mostly blue in color and will feature a wolf howling at the moon. Artistically awesome, but the marketing department calling it a Mooney? Y'all fucked up.
So if you've got two, does that mean you've got Moon Moon?
You know, some American's going to take
if you
literally.
Get that reference.
How much do I owe you? One Mooney, and they turn around and drop their drawers.
Well,
bloody American.
You know, and depending where they are, and if the other guy, you know, is all for gay marriage, that could be an invitation.
And while we're on the subject of funny words, I would like to take this moment to wish everybody a happy Tau Day.
Good point.
Perf.
Tau, which is supposedly the replacement for pi?
Well, whenever we use pi in an equation, it's usually a power of 2. You know, 2 pi, 4 pi, 8 pi, something like that. So, generally speaking, they like to use the term tau, which is, you know, 2 pi, or 6.28 blah, 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 blah. So today is officially 28 minutes into Tau Day.
Okay.
They did this just so that the Rochefeld equation that would turn out to one. Oh, I forget the name of it. Yeah. Anyways, it's prettier. That's all.
Look, I was just trying to wish everybody a happy day. Okay.
If math is involved, I'm out.
Don't worry about it.
Besides, we don't get pie for this one, sadly. I don't know what we get for this one. What do we get for this one?
I like pie.
Well, you're a couple months late for pie.
Wow. Okay. Can we get any more double entendre here?
You're 3 months and 14 days short for pie.
Yeah. Before we move on, Shujin, I do have one thing.
Very quickly.
Relating back to what Sam Melvey was talking about, looking for anything to do with, give them a non-religious reason for man-woman marriage, I found it. Rather, I found the podcast where 77 of those reasons were one by one rebuked artistically, just beautifully.
Yep, and that particular one is George's, right?
Yeah, the Geologic Podcast, episode 238, aired Thursday, November 3rd, 2011. I've actually got the episode up here on my screen.
Okay. Maybe what we'll do is probably sometime in the near future we'll see about actually dealing with that one specifically, because that's there are a lot of the presidential candidates now in the Republican camp especially who are saying we will fight tooth and nail and we're going to work against this, and it's probably going to be a good idea for us to handle that at some point.
And you know what pisses me off? Two of them are planning to set themselves on fire, and they're still alive.
What are we going to do with all the marshmallows?
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
S'mores!
I know it.
Okay. If you're watching with us live, first off, thank you for putting up with us so far. Shit, the hell is wrong with you? Thank you, of course, and if you are watching live, of course, please, by all means, take advantage of the question and answer system. We will see what we can do about getting all of your comments in as we can. If it's just social stuff, I'll let it stay in there long enough to make sure everybody's had the opportunity of seeing it. If it's a question, I'll make sure to keep it there, and with any luck, we should be able to tackle it at some point or other. We are going to be dealing with Cards Against Humanity tonight. The idea is that we are going to be playing together, and the discussion is going to be pretty much a free-for-all. It's going to be dictated by whoever is the card czar, whoever is in charge of judging. They will have an opportunity of talking through a couple of things while we try to figure out what cards we want to play. It is huge, big-time black humor. If you don't like black humor, this is not going to be the episode for you. So we'll see how it plays out for us as we go along.
Guess who's the card czar right now?
I do want to stop you real quick and say hi, Beth.
Yes, I'm going to get to all that. However, since Heretic Woman is off in Toronto right now and can't be with us, quite all right. I hope you're having yourself a good time, hon. You better be, otherwise I'm going to be pissed taking time away from us so that you can't be. What the frick? Anyway, unfortunately, as we know full well, Rafe Badawi is still not in Canada, at least not to the best of my knowledge. So as of the recording of the show, it has now been 3 years, 11 days since he was unjustly incarcerated for thought crime. And this week we are going to say a very large hi to the countries of India, Bangladesh, Belarus, South Africa, and Ireland, which means Jacksepticeye. Top of the morning to you.
This one is for you guys.
I have no idea what just happened because I have no video for you at the moment.
That doesn't make sense. Does anybody else see my video?
Nope.
Nope.
One moment.
Nope.
How about now?
I'm going to go with no.
I think he's trying to screen share something.
No. I have everything running normal, and okay. Now my video's not working. I didn't know my video's not working.
Okay.
Well, when you tried to put the camera down your pants, it came unplugged, and that's probably a good thing.
Look, if
we don't want to see your unit testicle.
Off the.
Put it this way: it's entirely possible that it could be on my side it's a little tough to try and diagnose this stuff. So it's
give me 2 seconds.
All right. Meantime,
that's what she said.
Meantime, quick messages over here for Katie, who is watching, of course, and chiming in. Yes, we know there are a couple of reverends and religious types who have said we're going to burn to protect marriage, and then said, "Oh, did I say burn? I'm sorry."
They were quoting a song. Did you hear the latest? He was quoting a song.
What was the song?
You know, it was something I've never heard of before. I didn't write it down.
Okay.
I think he just made it up in time.
Am I fixed now?
I'm seeing you.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
I thought the surgery did that for you.
Wonderful. Shh.
Good enough.
That's fire.
Now, again, for the folks for the folks watching from Ireland, here you go.
You got your Guinness. There you go.
I'm supporting your economy. Enjoy.
It's a funny drink.
4,000.
My bad.
Yeah, if memory serves, they got a 4,000-year lease for their brewery.
Something like that
is fucking great.
Oh,
okay. So
they must have been drinking when they made up that contract.
Could have been. So of course, Beth, thank you. Hi, hon. Dawn, good to see you over there.
No, actually, you were wrong, Shujin. Arthur Guinness started his brewery in 1758. At St. James Gate Brewery, Dublin. On the 31st of December 1759, he signed a 9,000-year lease at £45 per annum for the unused brewery.
Wow.
So
£45 a year for the next...
Wow.
Okay, you know what? I thought the Alaska Purchase was a ripoff. Damn!
So when all other beer is dead and gone,
they'll still be in business.
They'll be in business longer than the human race will probably survive, which makes me kind of sad. But
yeah, so the aliens come to a devastated planet, they'll still be.
They'll still be a couple of cakes of stout for their asses.
I'm sorry, but aliens would come, if aliens came to this planet, I can only imagine them landing in Australia. Landing in Australia, taking about 5 seconds to look around, say, fuck this shit, and go back home.
Yeah, it'll take about that long for the animals to go ahead and just kill each and every fucking one of them at that point. By the way, Dawn, good point. Forgot to mention about that one. If folks want to try to run to Mexico to try and get away from the whole Rainbow Coalition, the gay... What are they calling it? The gay Gestapo? Fuckers. What? Do you even know what the gay agenda is? Gay agenda.
Well, they do like those jackboots.
Yeah.
Well,
Gay agenda is them wanting to be treated like decent human beings are supposed to be treated. Equals. Same privileges and rights as everybody else. Gee, that's not that hard to fathom.
Yeah, 6:45, get treated like a normal person.
Closers to the north, here I am, stuck in the middle with...
7:10, take child to school.
And I thought the gay Gestapo was rather a niche market.
It is, and, you know, as somebody who really wants to get back into doing leathercraft again, I would love to be able to sell to them. But whoa, that'd be wonderful. And, oh, hi, Callie. I thought you were busy. You were lying to me on Twitter. You
oh,
bitch.
My.
Well, you say... Sunday, and I think, like, Sunday during the day, not, like, Sunday after midnight.
Are you kidding? There's too many people in church for that.
Time zones.
Yeah, well, yeah, I try to put that in there. All right, hold on just 1 second. Let me get to you, because I'll have you respond to what I was saying before. Let's see. Beth, Renee.
Why?
Oh, God, fine. Okay, Beth, Dawn again. I'm just scrolling through the Q&A right now. Katie, hi.
I know that... We should just call it the Beth channel or something.
You know what? I'll
tell you. Let me clarify that, though. I mean, I'm not dissing anybody who's going in there and actually, you know, giving us the illusion that we're reaching out to people. I mean, this is good. Stroking the ego is always good.
Yes.
You know? Yep. So, Beth, you know, please keep it up. Don't quit on my account.
Exactly.
I just want to say one thing about the gay Gestapo thing. I've got a friend of mine. He's a Canadian film director, and he made a movie called The Raspberry Reich, which is about the it could be a parody of the gay Gestapo.
Well, there is one interesting thing that's going on. States of Oklahoma and Mississippi are both thinking about not issuing marriage licenses to anyone at all. And I want to see them do this.
They've been trumpeting that one out their butts for the longest time, though. Even before
I know, but even yesterday, Mississippi was just like, well, we're just not going to issue them at all. And I'm thinking, do you really want to do that?
Well, in theory, if they refuse to issue marriage licenses to everybody, but as long as they keep up the recognition of marriage licenses that have been issued in other states, more than likely they could get away with it for a time.
But what about all those people living in sin? And what would that do as far as like property rights and all that? Do they really want to do this?
Well, what would end up happening is people who are, you know, they're good Christian-loving people, they would just go to a church on the state border, get married there, and come back in, because the state would still have to recognize the marriages in the other states.
Well, now, see, there's a problem with that also, in that if it's part of the jobs, the duties, the description for the Constitution for the state, county, town, whatever the hell it is, that says that this is a job that's supposed to be done by blah, and they say they're going to refuse to do their job, that's dereliction of duty, and you have legal regress to go ahead and say, you're supposed to be doing your job, you're not doing your job. I am now going to go ahead and sue you because you're not doing your job, and I'm going to get you thrown out of office, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to run, and I'm going to take your job. So,
and their knee-jerk reaction to that would be to redefine the positions to not include marriage.
Ah, but that can also be seen very easily as you are intentionally trying to change the Constitution. You need to go through a huge majority of people in order to do that, and guess what? That's not going to fly quick enough for me to put my emergency suit through the courts. Thank you very much. Here's the door.
I think they could do that, though, to just say, we're just not going to issue licenses to anyone at all and just do away with them. It would create a hell of a mess, but I think they could do that.
Yeah,
I think it would be funny.
I'd be worried about that.
They're just going to get their asses sued off on there, and it's going to cost them a mint.
Yeah, Judge Judy might actually go legit.
The thing about it is, though, Mississippi is at the bottom, you know, education-wise, economy-wise, all of that.
Geographically.
And so think of all of the you know, economic losses they would have. I mean, for one, they would lose the revenue selling licenses, then all of the catering jobs, photographers, fees pay for rentals. They would lose all of that to neighboring states.
Well, they would still have the religious ceremonies because, you know, the freedom of religion. They'd still have the religious ceremonies in the churches.
But it would not be legally. But it would not be legally recognized because they could not get a license there, and you have to have a license. You have to be married in the same state to get a license.
The pastors and the preachers could run a service where their friends in the church on state line
could do that now.
Acquire the licenses for them on behalf of the couple getting married.
If they don't issue licenses at all, then there is no license.
Oh, they would find a way to stick it in their religion. You know it.
They can't. If they no longer issue that piece of paper, they have no legal jurisdiction.
If they try to do that, the FFRF would just drop the hammer.
It would be the first time.
Yep.
To get a license, you have to be married in a church.
No, you have to apply for a license and then get married. And they're trying, Michigan is trying to make it to where you have to have a clergy member sign the license to make it valid.
There's no civil union.
See, that's just not.
That's not cool.
Feasible. You know,
there should have been a really simple solution to this a long time ago. First off, with the government, for purposes of taxes, should not recognize religious marriages for tax purposes. They should recognize civil unions for tax purposes. If somebody gets married in a church under a religious decree, then they can bring that paperwork with them to a justice of the peace and get it officiated as a civil union. That way, anybody men, men, woman, women, man, women, man, woman, could all be do their thing for their tax purposes, whether or not it was religious in nature or not. And it wouldn't be called a marriage, so that then all those religious people would have to shut up. And then all the people who do want to get married, well, they just recognize it as a civil union. And we would just redefine the word, and that way we could get everybody to shut the fuck up.
Okay, so now let me go ahead and finally get to the reason why I wanted to have Callie over with. Hi, Callie.
Oh, hey.
Okay, so the reason why I was going to ask you to pop in was for the very first time. The very first time I wanted to have somebody who would kind of dovetail off of my opening, because I took a piece of what you had told us last week, which was, even though this is a wonderful thing that the courts have finally come through with, and I'm all for it. I'm supporting this. I'm loving the hell out of this. I will drink heavily for it. I know a lot of people who are getting fucking shit-faced because of it, but there's still a lot of work yet to be done. And I figured you mentioned it last week, and I wanted to give you an opportunity if you would like to take a couple of moments and really make sure that we understand the perspective of, yeah, this is cool. This is great. Here's what's still yet to be done.
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah. I mean, it's absolutely, it's been a really, really emotional past couple of days. I mean,
oh, that's today an understatement. Was, oh, my God.
Well, listen, so today was our Pride Festival in Cincinnati, and Jim Obergefell, the lead plaintiff in the case, is a Cincinnati resident and Cincinnati native. And this case originated in the Sixth Circuit Court in Cincinnati. And we had our Pride Festival the day after the ruling. So, I mean, it was the, I mean, the environment was absolutely incredible.
Oh, wait a second, before you go on, did I not hear correctly, while he was being interviewed by CNN after the ruling, while he was being interviewed, he got a phone call from the president? Is yes. this the right guy?
Yep.
That was fucking beautiful.
It was amazing.
Wait, is this the same parade that some idiot news reporter looked at one of the flags that was flying and said, "That's an ISIS flag," without doing any research whatsoever?
I think that was in San Francisco. I think that was San Francisco, because their pride was today too.
Gotcha.
So all of that, and I mean, like, the story of Cincinnati when it comes to queer and trans issues is pretty amazing, because literally, just over a decade ago, there was a law in Cincinnati against passing laws against LGBT discrimination. Like, it was actually illegal to make a law protecting LGBT people in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I heard about
and,
that.
And just, I think, a year and a half ago, the city added trans health benefits to, you know, to their health benefits. And, you know, and now we're sort of the center of the universe for marriage equality in the United States, as far as the Supreme Court case goes. So, like, to say that, like, it's a cool time for us and it's an amazing place to be for me, I mean, that's an understatement. But on the other side of this thing, the story that I think is getting lost in all of this, a lot of people may remember the story but not remember the names. So the case that eventually made it to the Supreme Court, that you know, that now is the case that defines marriage equality in the United States, that suit was filed because Jim's husband, John, was dying of ALS, and they had to fly to Maryland to get married. The only way they were able to do that is because they had friends and family contribute $13,000 to get John, who was suffering from ALS, needed a special medical charter plane. They spent $13,000 to fly them to Maryland so they could get married, only to come home and realize that Jim's name wasn't going to be on John's death certificate. And when they realized that, that's when they filed suit. And that's the case that eventually made it to the Supreme Court. John didn't survive to see this happen. John died. John wasn't with Jim today. So I think that's a pretty sobering thing to think about. In you know, I mean, keeping it strictly about marriage equality for a minute, the real hardships that this has caused on people, and not just in, you know, not being able to have a piece of paper saying that we're married, but in, you know, not knowing if you're going to be able to be there for your loved one if they're in the hospital dying, and you call and you can't even get any information because you're not written down as their, you know, you haven't jumped through all the hoops to get a power of attorney and the, you know, 3 miles high of paperwork that you need to have those same rights. You know, people have, you know, there was a lesbian couple. One of them died, and her partner got sacked with like a $200,000 tax bill that she wouldn't have had to pay otherwise if they were allowed to be married. And she didn't get to live to see this day. So I think it's, you know, that's kind of its reality. I mean, I spent yesterday, we had a big rally in Cincinnati. We planned the rally date floating, and it was a big party, and it was amazing. And we had, because Obergefell v. Hodges wasn't the only case that decided this. There were four other cases that were tied together with it. And some of those plaintiffs were actually with us at the rally, and I got to talk to them. And some of the legal team that actually argued the case in front of the Supreme Court were there. And, I mean, it was a surreal experience to see that happen. And then to be at Pride today, and so many people so happy, so excited about this. It was absolutely incredible. I've loved every bit of the last 2 days. But the other side of the story is really important to tell, too. Not just about marriage equality, but, you know, moving beyond that to... you know, kids are still being bullied into suicide for being gay, for being trans. You know, trans women of color being murdered in the street. You know, a lot of trans people don't have access to even the most basic health care. And, you know, we face rates of depression, anxiety, you know, suicide, sexual assault that far outstrips, you know, what the average person faces. So, definitely celebrate, because anyone who's an activist knows that being an activist can be really, really depressing, because you know, when you win, it's like this big most times, and this one's pretty big. So I think it's important. Like, I think it's necessary to celebrate these things and be happy and give hugs and cry together and celebrate with all of our friends who can get married, that want to get married. But you know, it's time to jump back in the trenches tomorrow and push forward and fix the rest of everything that needs to be fixed.
I, for one, am so proud. And for so many different people and for so many different voices. And even though I didn't yet get the opportunity of seeing President Obama's address afterwards, the way it was described of him looking out at all of the staff, the pages, the assistants, the young and upcoming, I don't know how to otherwise to put it, the generation that's learning there. And as I heard it described, with, I guess, pride is probably the best way of putting it, for, in his own way, giving his smile of congratulations, because they're the ones for whom it's really going to become a real new world.
Well, and the thing that I appreciated the most about the president's speech was that he said somewhere in the middle, and, I mean, it was only one sentence, and I feel like he probably could have expanded on it more, but he said that it's the responsibility of the people who benefit from decisions like these to reach back and grab everyone else and pull them forward to make sure that they can enjoy these kinds of things too. And I think that, I mean, I think that's such an important message to send. And I was really, really... surprised. And but I mean it felt really good to hear the president say that.
Cool. So now the big question is, you kind of I'm assuming that you kind of heard that we're going to be using Cards Against Humanity to kind of play against each other and get ideas for what to talk about and who's going to be talking at any one time. Did you want to stick around for that and show Jake and Nick just how terrible a person you actually are? Or do you want to keep a...
absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, Callie's just so horrible.
I would actually like to bring something up to the fun house. Callie here.
Yes, Jack.
If I remember correctly, it was the last episode that you were on, Kelly?
Yes.
Right. And I had pointed out that I was both, in terms of my activities, a feminist and an MRA, men's rights activist. And you were saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, there's some not-so-nice ones out there, the bad reputations, everything else. And that made me sit down and think and reevaluate myself and, you know, read up more on the activities of both sides of the groups and everything else. And I chanced upon something that Dave Foda had been posting about as well. And from now on, I'm not going to be calling myself a feminist or an MRA or any of that. I'm just going to stick with the plain run-of-the-mill humanist, equal rights for all.
Well, I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that position. But the thing to remember is that, you know, on the last episode we talked about, you know, labels instead of boxes, and that labels can have importance in some ways. Mm-hmm. And my fear when we do things like that is that we erase where the actual problems lie.
Well, that's why I'm just calling myself a run-of-the-mill humanist. Just everybody should have the same rights to marriage, to respect, to have this the same access to care and love and just, you know, treating each other like equals.
Right, but we need to recognize where the deficits are.
Oh yeah, even as a humanist, though, I can still recognize where the problems are. That you know, whether it be pay inequality, whether it be marriage problems. Although SCOTUS kind of nipped that one in the butt.
Kinda. There's actually, believe it or not, there's still progress to be made on that. Because,
oh yeah, George Takei or Takei, I think it was
Takei.
He was actually bringing up. He was telling people. He said, "Listen, you know, now that there's been this ruling, if you're in a state and they're saying that they're not going to marry you, you need to file. You need to take these actions. You need to do these things because this is what's right, and they need to start acting appropriately."
Well, it's actually not even that. Couples who have disabilities who depend on Social Security for their income can't get married because if they get married, they lose their income.
Really?
Under certain circumstances, yeah. I have a friend who posted about that, and that was something that I was ignorant to. I pride myself on being up on, you know, social justice issues, and that was the first time I'd heard that. But I did some research, and yeah, I mean, the math gets weird because it always does when the federal government's involved. But, you know, basically speaking, if you have two people who are disabled and rely on Social Security for their income, if they get married, both of those incomes count and they qualify for less in some way. So, like, I had a friend who said that if her and her partner got married, that they would end up having to live on, like, $600 a month or something crazy like that.
Wow. I don't have anybody in my family like that, so that's probably why I wasn't aware of the problem. Whereas, you know, the problems that I've had with my ex and everything else have made me aware, forced me into the environment of being aware of the sexism in the courts and the inequality in custody battles and things like that as it relates to my life.
Right. And I hear you on that. The thing to keep in mind, though, is that recognizing that those things exist and that those things disadvantage men, because they do, but you have to understand that those attitudes are rooted in the idea that men are supposed to be better than women.
Right. Well, like I said, that's why I said
men are punished for not fulfilling those stereotypes. Right. But that's my problem with people who call themselves MRAs, because the inequity is not with men. You know, sexism hurts men for sure.
And it hurts
the kind
too.
Of sexism that hurts men is rooted in misogyny.
Right.
At its core. And that's why I call myself a feminist unashamedly.
Oh no, I have no problem with people calling themselves a feminist. It's the ones who, just like the MRAs, they have the extremes. Just like the feminists have the extremes, mm-hmm. where instead of asking and fighting for equal rights for both sides, they're asking for privileges, and those are the ones I don't agree with.
It's no, like, you're totally right about that. I mean, there are people in the feminist movement who want nothing to do with me because I'm trans. So, yeah, I mean, those people are definitely...
Yeah, okay. I saw that. I'm heavily on Reddit in terms of reading articles and things like that, and I saw... I get this one mixed up. If your mindset is... I do not intend to offend. I'm just slightly ignorant, and I... prefer to be educated if I can be. Mindset woman, body male, and goes and gets body changed to woman. That's trans woman, right? Trans into woman, right. Trans woman.
Basically the way to think of it is you always refer to somebody as what their identity is. So I identify as female, so I'm a trans woman.
Okay.
Just like, you know, somebody right. identified male as a trans male, but was, you know, I was assigned male at birth because of my body, but I identify as female. And, you know, reverse for trans men. And
right. So if you were to go into for non-binary and they were to ask you for clarification, that you would call yourself a trans woman. But correct. In polite conversation, we would call you a woman. Because right. I saw a lot of people in the feminist forums and the Ask Women forums and things like that, because I like to read both sides of the argument, identifying as trans women and suddenly getting kicked out and banned and left and right. I was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? These people are on your side. What are you doing to them? This is horrible.
Well, it's...
So I've seen what you're talking about. It's horrible.
Well, it's people who fight against being defined by their genitalia, defining other people by their genitalia.
Yeah, okay.
As all much right. as that makes sense.
All right. None at all.
yeah, please forgive me. I wanted to give you guys a lot more room to play out on this one than I normally would have, simply because there are important pieces that kind of dovetail along with all this stuff. And please forgive me for cutting short at this point, but we got about an hour left. Sure.
It's your show.
I haven't started the game yet.
Yeah, yeah, and we've run into a little bit of a techie issue with this. Chris had gone ahead and was trying to load up the Cards Against Humanity system that I had recommended, and it doesn't want to work for him for some reason or other, and had recommended a different site. I'm trying to get a... Oh, now it's telling me Create Game is available. Well, thank you, you stupid piece of fuck. Wow, really? Motherfuck. All right.
Stupid piece of fuck. That's my new favorite.
I
love that.
Yeah, fuck nugget.
Yeah.
That was one thing about the whole gay Gestapo thing. Like, I don't know if they exist or not, but I think we'd probably be able to identify them because they would probably have the most fabulous uniforms, don't you think? Sorry, well, I've been holding that one in all fucking night. Don't judge me.
They would be the ones having fun. I think that's the thing.
You know, I think about I don't know if you guys are familiar with Henry Rollins, not the punk singer, but the stand-up version of him.
Oh.
He had a great bit about if he was president, what he would do to the KKK. And it was like having, for his KKK disruption team, you had to be black, gay, and Jewish. And they would go to these KKK rallies all done up in like just like the most fabulous tie-dyed and sequined gold lamé Klan uniforms. And that's how I'm seeing this gay Gestapo. It's just like basically the pride parade, but with authority. You know what I mean?
That's a fantastic
glitter bombs everywhere.
Yes, lots of glitter bombs
and heels and a 2 meter high peaked cap.
Yeah, you know,
in pink
and RuPaul strutting in front of all of them. You know, just yep.
Okay. Okay. All right. So I've got the other.
I'm so dead.
I have a game ready to go for the original site, the one that we used last time when we played after the show. Went ahead and sent everybody the link to that. On the other one, since I still have it up and I'm technically the cards are, I wanted to at least get this out there because it tickles me. My black card is, what am I giving up for Lent?
So do I understand that this game is not one they were actually using?
No, this is one that we had started on, but we stopped because Chris can't load it. So we're going to use the second one that I just posted for everybody.
So I just want
to. For some reason,
that's
not taking me to the game.
I just want to point out that one of my cards was having a penis. So there's that.
No, it's working now.
Well, the one. This is what I have for the one that we're getting ready to nix because it's still loaded for me. So I'm just going to read these off. What am I giving up for Lent? Now, this is what you guys posted. A robust mongoloid. Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, who is now the oldest living monarch in British history.
There's a strike for healthcare.
Nubile slave boys. Free samples. And remember, this is a Power of Ten show, and I'm just reading from the cards. The primal ball-slapping sex your parents are having right now.
That's the background noise I'm hearing.
Insatiable bloodlust or grandma?
I'd have to go with grandma.
Here's the rule about Cards Against Humanity. First rule of Cards Against Humanity, know your cards are. And the only thing that I'd be really giving up is insatiable bloodlust. So who would have won that one? It doesn't tell me because everybody already left. So we're just going to go ahead and close this one out.
Yep.
Okay, so I've got Bridget in here, got Shu, got Dallin, got Tech, got Dallin. No, Chris. I've got the other Chris. The link is in the group chat. You go to the little blue.
I am using my iPad. So is the group chat a thing?
I think so.
iPad? Nope.
Panel on the left. Of your screen, and it's at the top.
Yeah, the one with all the tags, the QA, the showcase, the share screen. Do you see any of that?
I'll send you the link through Facebook.
Or that.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever works.
Okay, so the way that we're going to be playing this out is that we're going to play a couple of hands. We're going to see how this works out. Now, this is the first time that we're doing this, so this should prove to be interesting.
Indeed.
And the czar, the person that's going to be the judge, is going to be the one who will have the opportunity of speaking about whatever it is that they want while they are a czar. Mm-hmm. Now, once we've all had the opportunity of putting in whatever our card is, then they'll have to go ahead and judge it. They'll have to read it all off, and we'll see how it plays out. Play will then continue to whoever it is the system selects next, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, if you're the czar and everybody's already put up their cards, please don't filibuster the show.
Yeah. Now, for those of you that are unfamiliar with Cards Against Humanity, first off, you're a much better human being than any of us. Second.
Well, we already knew that.
Second, Cards Against Humanity is really about black humor. The idea is to try to come up with what could possibly be the worst possible thing that you could think of that would fit against what is suggested. For instance, put yourself into Nick Morgan Moore's shoes. If you can come up with something that Nick would say, you're probably going to be winning. And just think of it that way. If you don't know who Nick Morgan Moore is, what? Really?
Even better human beings than we ever thought possible.
The idea of Cards Against Humanity is you get a black... The card czar gets a black card with a blank on it. Because it just is.
All right.
So, it's got one, two, or three blanks depending on the card. And your goal as one of the players is to take your white cards in your hand and pick a white card with something on it to fill in that blank. For example, black card, what what do white people like? Blank. Auschwitz is an option. Your goal is to be as disgusting, as funny, or as dark as humanly possible, depending on, again, your cards are. You have to know your cards are. You need to know what makes them tick.
So we're going to get this started. Now, to go along with this...
Joseph, can you Facebook me the game password?
Sorry. It's holy crap. One word, all lowercase.
Got it. Holy crap. Got it.
So to go along with that, I'm also going to be... I'm no longer going to be in control of the video. So on the audio side, of course, it's not going to make any kind of a difference. Those of you that might be watching on video, if it gets a little helter-skelter, please forgive me. It's just that I don't want to be clicking all over the place and having it picked up. I do have a boom stand on order to try and help alleviate part of that, but for right now, there it goes. So it's now in free-range mode, and whoever is talking loudest is going to be whoever is going to be picked up. So if muting is good...
I'm setting up right now. So right now, since this is our first game together with everybody that we have here, I'm just going to run it score limit 10 with the standard expansions, none of the special expansions. Okay?
All right.
You're not going to put any of the packs...
Not right now, no. I'm just going to do the, you know, the first version, second version, third version, first expansion, yeah, all that stuff. Okay. So, here we go. And I am the Tsar. The card is... In Michael Jackson's final moments, he thought about blank.
Oh, Jesus.
Cards are tiny. I can't see them very well.
Now, to select your card, for those of you who haven't used this one before, you just click on the white card you want to fill in. It'll turn blue, then you hit the confirm selection button underneath the black card.
The cards are too small. How do I get them bigger?
They're fine on my side.
Yeah,
scaling up your window.
Better yet, if you just mouse over your cards, they should expand.
Yes.
Oh, I had animate card turn off.
There you go.
Yeah, that's why. If for future reference, when we have more than one blank on the black card, do your selection of your first card, hit the confirm selection, and then just, you know, each card afterward, just do select, confirm selection, all that stuff. I hope we don't get the make a haiku one, because that one never ends well.
Oh, man, they didn't give me the card I need for this. The Boy Scouts of America.
So
I'm the card czar, and I have nothing to talk about because I'm just trying to explain the game for everybody.
Well, then we'll have to run through the batting order here really quick so that we can get back to you.
That's fine. This time, I'm the bus driver, surprisingly enough. I don't know how well this is going to end.
Ding, this is me pulling the damn cord.
I might have had a few, folks.
Do not speak to the driver when the bus is in motion.
Actually, given some of the... agencies I've had the opportunity to work at, you're probably in good company.
All right. In Michael Jackson's final moments, he thought about blank. He thought about scrotum tickling. He thought about anal fissures you wouldn't believe. He thought about waking up half naked in a Denny's parking lot. He thought about whispering all sexy. He thought about bananas in pajamas. He thought about public ridicule. Actually, I'm pretty sure he thought about that all the time. He thought about a salty surprise.
I know which one is my odds-on favorite, and it's not the one that I picked.
Too bad you aren't the card czar. Oh, knowing Michael, not to be judgmental or anything, just knowing Michael, this is probably true.
Not to be judgmental, but he's going to be judgmental now.
And Shujin gets the point.
And I, after seeing a salty surprise, I seriously thought that was going to be the winner right there.
Again, know your cards are. You've got to know how your cards are, minds work.
Okay. Bridget is now the cards are.
Now, do you want me to keep reading the cards for you, or do you want to make them on your own?
Oh, no. Bridget, you're the driver's seat. You get to read it off. It's your fault now.
Oh, no.
Okay, so read your black card.
Armani suit, $1,000. Dinner for two at that swanky restaurant, $300. The look on her face when you surprise her with priceless.
So since you are in the driver's seat, what would you like to go ahead and talk about while we're trying to figure it out?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. Glitter bombs for everybody. Glitter.
The herpes of the arts and crafts world.
Oh,
now, you don't have to read the entire black card over again for each of the white cards. Just read, like, a segment so that, you know, we kind of know how it fits into the sentencing.
Let me think.
Like, when you probably want to start with, look on her face when you surprise her with, and then read the card. And then from there go, and you surprise her with, and then the next card, when you surprise her with, and the next card.
I'm going to have to mute myself because there's no way I'm going to get through this without cackling like a fucking jackal. So I'm muting.
Oh my goodness.
Come on, Bridge.
Too many good ones. Hold on.
No, read them all off.
Oh my gosh. Armani suit, $1,000. Dinner for two. The look on her face when you surprise her with a lifetime of sadness, priceless. The look on her face when you surprise her with multiple stab wounds.
I like that one.
The look on her face when you surprise her with fucking a corpse back to life, priceless. The look on her face when you surprise her with an ether-soaked rag, priceless.
I'm giving you a standing ovation. Whoever had that one.
Well, there's the next one too.
My head went,
the look on her face when you surprise her with roofies, priceless. The look on her face when you surprise her with dropping a chandelier on your enemies and riding the rope up, priceless. The look on her face when you surprise her with an erection that lasts longer than 4 hours, priceless.
Live through the experience, that is.
I'm going to go with an erection that lasts longer than 4 hours.
No date rape? Well, technically that could go.
Yeah, so Bridget, click the card and then go confirm selection. Yeah.
And
damn you, Shujin!
And because somebody said something about it, mine was the multiple stab wounds.
Shujin now has 2 points, while the rest of us have none.
And I
now Shujin is the cards are, which means he can't get any more points at least this round.
Which works out well. Okay. Oh, I love these. Step one, blank. Step two, blank. Step three, profit. This should prove to be interesting. Okay, so while you guys are trying to figure this out, what do I want to say? I'm going to say something that I was planning on saving for a 5-minute freestyle. Thank you. I mean, with all seriousness to it, there are so many people that I am realizing have been and are being friends to me that I cannot thank largely enough. Cash, Bobby, Carrie, the guys from No Religion Required, the guys from Barroom Atheist, Scathing Atheist, Sam Mulvey, Ask an Atheist, Jake and Nick and Callie and all you guys on the panel, all you guys that have been watching. I, in all seriousness, want you guys to know that I am so amazed that... You know, I joked about how I said that this was a shit-tier show, and I'm really realizing that, wow, we've really got a lot of people that are being really nice to me and are becoming my friends, and it's nice to be able to finally realize that for a change.
You have no idea. Power of 10 show, you're not supposed to be so mushy.
Fuck y'all. All right? That's fine. How about this? Ms. Ashley, the next time, when I finally get the opportunity of seeing you, I promise that you guys will get a huge, huge, monstrous hug from me, and I promise to goose his ass just once, just so you have a good laugh. How's that?
Just make sure you demand bear claws as payment.
See about that.
Owing me those for the last several years.
Shit, that's right.
I have to ask, what's the deal with all the female podcasters being under 5 feet tall? I mean, seriously.
That's a good question.
I'm not.
Hey, I love midgets.
Well, I mean, I'm 4'11". I think Deb is, what, 5'1"? Ashley's 4'10". I mean, we're all...
I think it just proves the old adage that dynamite comes in small packages.
I guess.
Just saying.
I go with that. Just check my pants. Yeah.
I'm not... At least all the
and
males.
And the TMI flag is down.
Yeah. Let's shoot and read the cards.
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. Step one, the complex geopolitical quagmire that is the Middle East. You thought I was going to fuck up saying quagmire, didn't you?
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Step two, Republicans. Step three, never take a land war in Asia. I'm sorry, I was going to go from there. Step one. Ooh, finally this card comes out. Step one, Mecha Hitler. Step two, special musical guest, Cher. Step three, profit. Step one, chicken on leashes. Sorry, children. No real difference.
You got quagmire right, but you couldn't say children? Damn.
It's small on my screen. Fuck you. Step two, child protective services. Step three, profit. Ooh. I'm liking that one. Step one, the art of seduction. Step two, erectile dysfunction. Step three, profit. Actually, step three is Bob Dole.
Shots fired.
Step one, anal beads. Fiery poops. Profit. I'll tell you why I'm laughing. I'm liking that one a lot more in a second. Nubile slave boys. Preteens, profit.
And the third one's over your list of cards.
Yeah. No, I'm fine. Step one, gay aliens. Step two, robots who just want to party. And profit. Okay. I'm going to tell you why I'm picking this one in just a second. If it will stop bouncing around so I can click on a goddamn thing. There it is, finally. Sure, that's the guy. Okay. Because the first thought that came to my mind was Red Hots. Those Red Hot Gobstopper guys. I'm going with step one, anal beads. Step two, fiery poops. Step three, profit.
And now mine is broken because everybody's names have now gone blank for me, so I can't see who all is getting what points now. So... Oh.
Don't worry, we'll take care of it for you. Dallin, you are Czar.
Okay, and my card for this round is, it's a pity that kids these days are all getting involved with blank. God, this sounds like, you know, this almost sounds like a segment of the Imaginary Friend show, I just got to say. You know, and the trouble is, the news segments that they always cover are so absurd, this almost fits, really, you know, when you think about it. Okay, as for what I'm going to cover, if you don't mind, I'm going to do my own little diatribe here because I posted this earlier. Actually, I posted this yesterday on my Facebook, and I really think it's valid. This was my response to His Grayness, Brian Fisher. All right, stop. Just stop. Close your pie hole and get someone to apply some kind of industrial adhesive to it and do it now. Okay, Brian, let's review, shall we? On September 11th, 2001, a group of terrorists, in a fit of religious zeal, committed one of the most visually spectacular and disturbing acts ever seen, namely flying commercial airliners into skyscrapers and the Pentagon. That's right, folks. Don't forget they actually did go after a military target, too. That was an attack perpetrated by people who believe wholeheartedly that their God is the one true God. Sound familiar? And for their sacrifice, they were welcomed into paradise. The attack was pretty successful, too, considering over a decade later, some folks are still shitting themselves from the fear it produced. Now, on June 26th, 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that marriage equality was legal and recognized across all 50 states. This is a recognition of the simple fact that love is love. End of story. So tell me, Bri-Bri, how can you equate one with the other? And do not get on your high horse and talk to me about biblical morals, okay? That trope has been debunked more times than I care to count. You and people like you talk about the love of the Christian God, and yet all I hear from you and your ilk are messages of hate, prejudice, discrimination, and outright lies. You know what the commandments call bearing false witness? Just so you can keep your gnarled, aging hands on whatever influence you have left in a world that is fast leaving you behind. If you believe you're doing your God's work, then yours is a God I would never want to follow. So congratulations, Bri-Bri. You've just reminded me why I'm an atheist. Now just shut up and die already, you pasty-faced, shit-spewing hate monger. Sorry, I just had to do that.
Bravo.
Bravo. He is heretofore always to be referred to as Bri-Bri.
Yeah.
Because I love that
you know
so
what?
Much.
My gift to all of you from now on, his pastiness, Brian Fisher, can be referred to as Bri-Bri. Please, let's do this viral on every podcast out there. I would love that.
So let's make sure we've got this straight. We've got Bri-Bri for Brian Fisher. We've got
Amish Wolverine.
Amish Wolverine. Yes.
We've got the crack.
Yes.
I don't know. Whatever.
Yep. Anyway. You know, I was just about to say King Crocoduck, but he's actually an awesome YouTuber, so yeah.
And he's an awesome guy. Which, by the way, yes. when you started on your thing, I'm sorry I started to laugh because you started... How did it start off?
Stop. Just stop.
Okay, because you said stop, and the first thing that ended up running through my head was collaborate and listen. Fuck no! Oh! Which, by the way, Callie, fuck you for taking that answer away from me. God damn you, motherfucker! You know which one you did. You know which one it was. The question had come up with Jake's show of what is it that women turn out to be better than men at, and she went ahead and said, anything you can do, and it was like, fuck!
Brilliant. Oh.
So go ahead, finish off the round.
All right. Okay, so yeah, rant over. Let's get to the cards here. So, it's a pity these days that kids are all getting involved with basic human decency. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't know Bri-Bri was playing here. Getting involved with Glenn Beck convulsively vomiting as a brood of crab spiders hatches in his brain and erupts from his tear ducts.
Oh, that would be
an improvement.
I was going to say, how the fuck is that a pity? Come on!
That would be a show worth watching.
I was going to say, I want to YouTube that shit. Getting involved with incest.
The family that plays together stays together.
There's an Alabama joke in there somewhere, but anyway.
Yes, it's all of Alabama.
Yeah, the kids these days are getting involved with child support payments. God, talk about starting them young. Getting involved with screaming like a maniac. Yeah, that kind of music I'm not a big fan of either.
Maniac.
Yeah. Getting involved with damn titties.
No, that's not a pity.
I was going to say, again, I do not see the problem here.
I was going to say, if I can make an easy joke, getting involved with them titties was the best decision I ever made.
Me too.
You know, to be perfectly honest, Callie, I can agree with you on that one, you know?
Honestly, Callie, if something weird happened to my genetics overnight while I was sleeping and I woke up in the morning with a set of, like, double Ds or something, I would spend all day in my room just playing with you.
Callie.
And we'd never hear from tech ever again.
Yeah, exactly.
If I may take just a moment to rebuke, Callie?
Yes?
In the name of my religion...
Oh, yes.
In the left breast, the right, and the holy cleavage, tits be with you.
He is the Pope of the Church of the Holy Mamre.
No. I am the founding father of the lapsed church of the Holy Mamre.
Yeah, sorry.
That's good. I'm a fan.
Yeah. Okay, and it's a pity these kids, that kids these days are getting involved with lactation. Again,
a bit of a theme going on here.
I don't see a problem here. We've got, yeah. Okay, you know what? Just because it is just too goddamn funny for words, I gotta go with Glenn Beck, because he's number three on my list of people I want to see fucking burn.
And Sujin's still in the lead with 3 points.
Yeah.
Hey, the Tribble's got the good cards, man.
Yes, I do right now.
All right, who's our...
Me. It is my turn.
Oh, boy.
And for my black card, it's what's the gift that keeps on giving? Do your worst. Meanwhile, while they're doing that, I'm going to bring up something that kind of irks me a little bit. We've been talking about marriage equality, and during the process, I've heard a lot of people saying, oh, you know, Christians are being repressed and they're being diminished and downtrodden upon. And I came across a news article today that happened to a little boy, and he's a second grader, and out in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The little boy was asked by a little girl what church he went to, and he said that he did not go to church, and he did not believe in God. But he also stated, and here's the important part, he also stated it was fine with him if the inquiring classmate believed in God. So he never tried to push his non-belief onto the little girl. He never said that the little girl was wrong. He never did anything of that nature. But apparently that upset her very much, and she began to cry. The teacher, Michelle Meyer, because the article does say the teacher's name, resulted and ended up punishing the child, the little boy. She told him that she was very concerned about what he had done, and she was going to contact his mother, but never did. And it gets worse. She required him to sit by himself during lunch and told him that he should not talk to other students, and that was because he had offended them. Which reinforced the little boy's feeling that he had committed some kind of transgression that justified this behavior. When the little boy told his mother why he was upset, it resulted in a conference call between the mother, the teacher, and the school's assistant principal, which they seemed to resolve the issue, but damage was already done. The boy had been publicly separated from classmates, informed that he could not speak to him. He was publicly shamed and made to feel that his personal beliefs were terribly wrong. No efforts were made to correct that damage. The little boy came home from school multiple occasions after that, crying, saying that he knows that everyone at school hates him, teachers and students alike. Some classmates will no longer talk to him. He's developed anxiety and fear about school, and which was completely different than how he used to feel. Now, with this in mind, and the things that I've heard some of these right-wing Christians talk about, and the fundamentalists, I want to know, when was the last time this happened to a Christian student? And I don't mean that they got in trouble for preaching or handing out religious material or telling other people that their beliefs were wrong and they were going to hell for it. I'm talking about where they answer that they are Christian, but it's okay if the other person's not. And then, because they gave that answer, they're dragged away from the group, isolated, and psychologically tormented before their parents are even informed about the process. I want citations, you assholes.
I hear you. That's... I heard about that one. I didn't read all the way through it, but I'm pretty sure that I can, as a parent, I will say that's fucking wrong on so many levels.
As a parent, if that had been my son, that teacher 5 feet within my range would have gotten a bitch slap of epic level proportions. I wouldn't have cared if they filed suit. That teacher would have gotten this shit slapped out of her. You do not do that to a child. You do not do that. That child did nothing wrong.
And you don't even do that to a child that did do something wrong.
Right, no. You sit down and you talk about it. You don't
psychologically
torment a child over something like that. That's horrible. All right, you know, that being said...
I was going to say, it would be my biggest hope that there would be some kind of and I hate to use the term because I know it's been hijacked by a certain group, but some kind of social justice. The name of the teacher has been out there. It's time to make that name extremely public.
Yep. By the way, two quick things. Sorry to interrupt you. One, Bridge, you do know that you're muted at the moment, right? I saw you trying to talk, and I was
going to say, welcome to Indiana. I mean, that is the norm here, and ostracizing the person, even if we know the teacher's name, does no good here. She will get props.
Yeah.
And it's been like that for about 6 years.
Yeah, well, on the positive note, a dozen grade A large comes into play.
On the positive note, the parent has taken what I consider to be the correct action. The parent is personally suing the teacher, not the school district, but the teacher herself.
Mm. And,
the reason why I say that's a good action is because if she were to sue the school, it would be the taxpayers who are footing the bill on it, whereas she's suing the offending teacher. Because right now, that's the only case out of that school that's been made public.
And it's poisonal.
Right, and I have a suspicion that because it was made aware, it was sat down with the school is supposedly, you know, taking corrective action to some degree, that they will probably make sure that something like this either, A, doesn't happen again, or if it does, that they'll... you know, make nice words and shit like that, like they can do, so that they get out of any lawsuits. But by going after the teacher herself, she's holding the teacher personally responsible for her actions.
She is, but I can tell you from personal experience, nothing will happen to the teacher. And what will probably happen is the student will probably have to be pulled out of school and either put in another school district or homeschooled.
Let's just hope that the judge that they get for the case is actually willing to give it a fair shake.
Just one thing that's kind of important for me anyways, but that story kind of shows that education is based on conformism more than it is on real education.
All right, so we got to get this moving along, but Katie did chime in and said, the gift that keeps on giving? Herpes. I'm pretty sure there may be a card for that, so we're going to find out in just a second. Tech?
That's what I said at the very start.
So here's what's the gift that keeps on giving. The choices are a botched circumcision, menstrual rage, doing the right stuff to her nipples. Her Royal Highness, Queen Elizabeth II. The milkman.
That's not milk.
I thought it tasted a little salty. Scientology. Samuel L. Jackson.
Never mind salty. It separates really easy in the world. Sure.
What's the gift that keeps on giving, in my opinion? Doing the right thing to her nipples.
Damn.
Because I had a good one there too.
I'm talking from experience here.
So, Chris, you are our czar. Have at it.
So, who stole cookies from the cookie jar? Is the question. What I was wanting to do is following the Supreme Court decision, I wanted to ask Callie what she thought would be the next battle that's to be fought. And see if anyone else wants to chime in on that.
If the battle that I think will be fought, it'll be anti-discrimination laws. Because, you know, we still don't have a federal non-discrimination act we still don't have a federal employment non-discrimination act. I mean, there's general non-discrimination laws in place, but, a lot of them, to my knowledge, don't cover, the law itself doesn't cover sexual orientation or gender identity or gender expression. And, you know, and there was a push years ago to make that happen, and it didn't end up working out. So that would be my guess, is the next fight is going to be ENDA,
be amazing, because it's something that virtually everyone will benefit from.
Well, another thing I've seen a push for that people are saying the next fight needs to be is Equal Rights Amendment. That was never ratified either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how many states we were shy of ratifying that, but that was never passed. Okay. So women do not have equal rights in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
Well, and I should make it clear that I think my answer was what I think the next fight will be, not necessarily what I think the next fight should be. The problem is that with these issues, everything's urgent and everything's important.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, I don't want to say, like, well, you know, women's rights can take a backseat because, you know, there's no Employment Non-Discrimination Act for gay and trans people. Those things are both important.
Yeah.
And,
which,
you know,
which priority is the priority, really?
That's well, right. Some states have already rolled back protections for women and said that women are not entitled to equal pay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with opening multiple fronts. I mean, keep them all open.
Right.
You don't have to just concentrate on one thing at a time.
I think that gender and sexual orientation and all that need to be added as protected classes under the 14th Amendment. Boom. Done.
I would agree. I think the big problem is that women just tend to be about 75% as big as men, and they're getting paid as much. So it just evens out in the end, doesn't it?
Sexual orientation would be an easy fix. Just add them as a protected class under the 14th.
Makes sense to me.
Shijin, I'm behind you there because I'm about 75% heavier than most people, so I should get paid more.
I'm right with you there, man.
Paid by the kilogram?
Shit, I'm on a diet.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Put it this way. If we were paid according to our weight, I could have retired 10 years ago.
Shit, if we were paid by the weight, the fat boys would be the richest people in the country.
They will.
Well, they don't call them fat cats for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, but employers would soon start hiring thin people, so that's the obesity crisis dealt with straight away.
Wouldn't be a crisis anymore.
We'll just ship them all in from the middle of Africa. I'm really bad. Oh, wow.
Ouch.
If you want to learn the obesity crisis statistics.
Obesity used to be a status symbol.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So, Mr. Czar.
Actually, I think we're still missing a card, aren't we?
Yeah, we're missing a seventh player.
Oh,
Gally. No?
Yep.
There we go.
Okay, so it was. The question was who stole cookies from the cookie jar? And we have actual mutants with medical conditions and no superpowers.
That's boring.
Nazis?
Fucking Nazis. I hate Chicago Nazis.
Pac-Man uncontrollably guzzling gum.
I have some cookies with that white stuff.
Oh.
White stuff. Oreo. What's in the middle? The white stuff.
We've got the white half of Barack Obama. A gassy antelope. Advice from a white... Oh, black man. Or Barack Obama.
Well, Barack Obama's apparently odds in favor
here. Obama. Always.
Oh, my God. By the way, did anybody see the video that he had posted? He's sitting at the table in his office. He's got this giant chocolate chip cookie and a thing of milk, and he clink. It doesn't fit in there. He's like,
I saw that.
Thanks, Obama. And he's
like, and... In this case, Tech wins with the actual mutants.
Yay! Woo! Okay. So, I assume, Joseph, I believe it is your turn.
Yeah, I have to read the card.
Yep.
With enough time and pressure, blank will turn into blank.
Oh, this is a pick two.
Oh, yes, it is. So, what would you like to discuss?
Well, I just had a point about, this equal rights, the religious right pushing against homosexuality, gay marriage, and all that. For me, it's kind of important because it's really the last bastion for religion for me because, you know, our laws are demonstrably more moral than religion is. And really, this anti-homosexuality thing is really the last thing that religion has that makes it, quote unquote, relevant. Because if they didn't have that, you know, they always need a witch to burn or a battle to fight or whatever just to bring themselves to the forefront. So if they lose this one, there's nothing left for them.
Trans people are left, and they're already...
Oh, no, but they're part of the battle, too. I mean, they're in the forefront now. So, and I did post something about this. I think it was on your comment, Kelly. The rising of the trans movement has really confused the religious right. Because, I mean, you know, they were concentrated on attacking homosexual marriage, and then just like all of a sudden, it's like, what the fuck? They get the transgender
curveball.
Yeah, and just like when they were losing the first battle, you know, somebody else comes in and starts going at them too. And I mean, it's bloody great.
Dogpile on the rabbit.
Yeah.
For those of you that are watching the show from 3025 and you have no idea what that reference was, fuck you and your youth. Seriously, fuck you.
So, for having a witch to burn, it's the pastors seem to be taking on that role at the moment. If only they would follow through on their promises.
I know, right?
Like, yeah, I was getting excited at the idea of Christians burning themselves at the stake.
Yeah, usually they have to get a Roman to do it for them.
It used to be. Oh, wait, now they are the Romans, the Catholics.
No. The Catholics burned people at the stake for heresy and shit.
Oh, that's right, too, yeah.
Yeah, so they burned themselves at the stake.
Yeah, but no, it was the monks that would actually set themselves on fire in protest of stuff.
No, it's Buddhism.
Yeah, that now makes me wonder, if one of these Christians actually does go ahead and self-immolate, does that mean that they are tacitly converting to Buddhism?
No, actually, they're going to hell because it's suicide.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, do you want me to read the answer?
Yes. Well,
yes, go ahead and read them all off.
Okay, with enough time and pressure, blank will turn into blank. So, the first one is unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks will turn into a subscription for men's fitness.
Ooh, that's actually a really good answer.
That actually, yeah, one would lead to the other, wouldn't it?
It's too real. It's too real.
All right.
Oil will turn into an M16 assault rifle.
Again, Jesus, also too real.
Too real.
Yep.
A brain tumor will turn into Boris the Soviet love hammer. Oh, I like that one.
Can I some more?
Balls will turn into unquestioning obedience.
Oh. With enough time and pressure. Okay.
Yeah, with enough time and pressure.
Let's just not get into the lifestyle stuff here, okay?
This one's good. With enough time and pressure, cuddling will turn into a sad hand job. Stranger danger will turn into meaningless sex.
Oh.
And with enough time and pressure, used panties will turn into a sweet spaceship.
Well, there's that whole going into the black hole, and I really don't want to think about that Disney movie anymore. Thank you.
Put them on, Alice.
Hey, wait, I have to choose both. Wait.
No, just one of them, and then it'll take.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whichever one you can pick.
Well, I kind of like this with... Oh, no! Oh, I didn't even realize. Okay, because I can't see.
And for those of you who are listening to the audio version of this in 3025, Shuji Tribble right now is kicking our collective asses at this game right now.
Yeah, no,
I'm calling shenanigans. He's hacking.
I am, actually. Here's the funny part. I didn't read it as hammer. I read it as hamster. So I...
I like yours better.
I know.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Soviet love hamster, and it's just like, oh fuck, I gotta have this, and then you get it off, it's like, oh shit.
Oh, why is the Lemmy Winstein playing through my head? Thanks, Treble.
You're welcome.
See, the only thing more fun than this game are the comments that it generates.
Oh, no kidding.
So
everybody improvs on this game.
Oh, absolutely. Callie, here's your big opportunity to show Nick just how much of a fuck you really are.
Yeah.
Everyone down on the ground. We don't want to hurt anyone. We're just here for blank. So, if I can horribly depress everyone for a minute, because I'm really good at doing that. So I heard two stories at Pride today that I think are relevant and worth talking about. So the first was I was at a booth for a little bit with a local trans community group here, and someone had walked up to the booth and was just talking to them and handed them a letter that was left in all of their mailboxes in their neighborhood.
Oh, no.
And the long story short, what had happened was one of the neighbors saw her, assumed that she was a trans person, she was, hired a private investigator to uncover her identity, and outed her to every single one of her neighbors, and said, watch your kids, these people can be pedophiles.
Wow.
Story two, mom came up to the booth with a six-year-old trans girl, desperate for resources because mom was super supportive. Mom and dad weren't together anymore. Mom was super supportive, and every time she ended up with dad, dad cuts her hair.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Great. That's what bugs me. Like, most of these people who do shit like this are religious, because, I mean, according to religion, you know, they have the rules, but they only apply to their clan. I mean, when it comes to anybody outside of their, anybody who doesn't obey their rules, I mean, it's just, anything is fair game. Like, absolutely no morals at all, no holds barred.
Yeah, well, there was an
atheist group. It's just the hypocrisy that really gets to me.
Yeah, there was an atheist group at Pride today, and it was awesome because I've been the last couple of years and there wasn't one. Their banner said that the biggest obstacle to equality is religion, and I was like, yes!
Yeah.
So I was really, really excited to meet them and had lots of cool conversations. It was really cool.
I think probably the biggest reason for that is that religion is still really one of the only institutionalized
bigotry?
No, not bigotry, so much as the biggest, still biggest institutionalized separator between any groups. The biggest wall, the biggest barrier between, the biggest separator. I don't know exactly how to describe it.
Divisiveness. They preach divisiveness. They make boundaries between humans where there should be none.
Well, like, think about it this way. The very root problem of religion is that religion's philosophy is that faith is a good way to know things, right? Not that science is a good way to know things, or that evidence is a good way to know things, but that faith is a good way to understand the world. And that's not flexible, that's not open to evidence, that's not open to anything else. So if I see this thing that doesn't fit into my worldview, I then have to hate it.
Well, it goes baser than that, because according to religion, people can't judge what's good and bad for themselves. So they decide it for them. So they train their followers, you know, to rely on them for all their value judgments. Yeah. So you have this group of people, they're just totally incapable of just, like, judging something at its face value. Is it good? Does it harm other people? Does it, they don't even think about that. They just said, okay, fearless leader says it's bad, and that's it.
Mm. And in that way, fearless leader still retains a level of control over his masses, and can
that's
exploit
the whole
them.
Point.
Yeah. And then, but in doing so, they can then exploit those masses for whatever. In the case of the church, usually it's the tithe. So there's a huge.
They really do.
You know, I'd say you're preaching to the choir here, but that would kind of defeat this whole show, wouldn't it?
But I want to. But that's the thing, because you know we're always talking about, when we're talking about religion, we're always talking about God and Scripture and stuff like that. But I would like to make this central to the discussion. I mean, just the fact that there's a group of people robbing humans of an ability they have that they're born with, you know, to be able to judge things for themselves. They're they're hobbling or handicapping, like generations of humans.
Speaking of judging,
yes.
Oh,
let's find out.
All right, so everyone down on the ground. We don't want to hurt anyone. We're just here for a mating display. we're just here for fiction. We're just here for a good sniff. We're just here for glory holes. Oh. We're just here for genital piercings. We're just here for a turd. Guys, this is hard.
I think you skipped over.
You overlooked one, I think.
Yep, out.
Oh, yeah. We're just here for out-of-this-world bazongas.
That, to me, isn't a bad thing.
Those of you playing at home who don't know that word, it means tits.
It does indeed. You know what? I'm going boobs.
Earlier we were detecting some kind of a central theme here tonight.
Yeah, but it's...
No, we've learned a lot about unrenowned tech. I mean, I think boobs has come up around 4 times.
And I think we're gonna get one more over in here, so we'll do it from here. Joey, we'll give you one more turnaround on this to pull it full circle for us.
I got nothing.
Well, you had.
But we got at least the card. So.
Yes.
What were you saying?
You are the czar, my friend.
No. Shujin was actually saying something now.
I was going to say, you know, you had a whole round around to you to finally get to you, and you're complaining you had nothing before, and you got to have something now.
I wasn't necessarily complaining about it, but, you know, at this point, it's like we're not even going to finish the game, so I'm just trying to hurry things along.
The sooner we end the game, the sooner I win, so just go ahead and read off the goddamn card.
I'm trying to do that, but you keep interrupting me!
Sorry.
A romantic candlelit dinner would be incomplete without blank.
Ooh.
Oh, I think Tech's going to regret using his last card on that round.
I don't know. I think I kind of chose a pretty good one.
Excellent. A romantic... Oh, I shouldn't talk with my mouth full.
That's what she said.
I was going to say that, but I thought, I'm not going to sing to the devil, but then I just did.
You're not allowed
a romantic candlelit dinner would be incomplete without ambiguous sarcasm, a whole new kind of porn.
Welcome to Japan.
A Ugandan warlord.
Not sure how that works.
Chunks of dead prostitute.
Appetizers.
Ancient Athenian boy fucking.
Floor show.
Necrophilia.
Second floor show.
And cockfights.
I have to spell that one out.
Dinner and a movie all in one night, man.
Dinner and a movie and a sports presentation.
And you said this is going to be the last one. Oh, what is it going to be?
Well, nobody quit when we're done with the show, because we can finish the game and see who actually wins.
At this rate, it's going to take forever. But that one I have to go with.
That's the point of Prost.
And of course, it would be the Frenchie that posts chunks of dead prostitute. Because why not?
I thought Jack the Ripper was in England.
Yeah, has anybody seen Hannibal? It kind of reminds me of that.
The fava beans and a good Chianti.
Chianti. And actually, it's not even a Chianti in the book, but the actual wine that it was used in the line for the book, most people wouldn't recognize it as a wine, so they changed it for the movie.
Why, what was it originally?
I don't remember off the top of my head. One moment.
It's probably something weird like grappa or something. Anyway, we are at we're fast approaching the top of the hour, and we've been running longer than our usual 2 hours. So I'm going to see about pulling us all together at this point. I'm going to give everybody a couple of moments to just really quickly, please, guys, underline really quickly. If you've got any last couple of words that you'd like to cap off the night with, whether it's something scathing or something really positive. Bridget, what last item would you like to throw out?
I would like to say, fuck you, Mike Fuckabee. Who do you think you are? He thinks if he's president, he's going to be able to overturn the SCOTUS ruling? Really? How? And that's it.
That's a good question right there. Callie?
It's a great weekend. Let's jump back into the trenches tomorrow because we're not done.
Ah. It was originally an Amarone.
Ah.
Well, you're right. I wouldn't have picked that one. Alrighty. So since I got the camera on you anyway at the moment, what last item would you like to send off with?
Who, me?
You, yes.
Oh. I'm sorry that I set the score limit to 10, because apparently that we're never going to get through a game like this in just 2 hours with this many people. Good night, folks, and I'll see you next week.
Night now.
Sure enough. All right. Chris, what would you like to close off with?
I'd say this has been a brilliant week with for rationality and stance with SCOTUS actually coming to a decent decision on their moving gay marriage forward in the US. We've had in the UK the government doing a clarification regarding banning creationism in any school that receives state funding. Including academies and things. So it's been a great week for, as I say, for rationality, and a less good week for the religious right. And hopefully we can have many more weeks like this.
Mm-mm. I'll second that one. Dallin, what would you like to close us out?
Just really to reiterate what's been said so far, this has been one hell of a great week. A lot of blows have been struck against an establishment that should have died out decades, if not centuries ago. And I do realize that we have a long way to go. There's still a lot of mountains to climb, and a lot of obstacles to overcome. But I think this week, I think one of the biggest walls has toppled. And just seeing the reaction, that's been the beautiful part for me. Mm-hmm. Seeing the reaction of the religious right and the conservatives based on this. People saying they were going to set themselves on fire. People saying that they, when they climb to that mountain of power, that they'll be able to repeal all of this stuff. The absurdity of it, to me, is like a chocolate sundae with whipped cream and a cherry on top, because it is so sweet watching these assholes self-destruct. It's beautiful. Hmm. Let's keep it up. But let's see how far we can push them over the edge of the derp, huh?
Oh, yeah, they're setting themselves on fire and then backing out within a week.
I want my s'mores, man.
Yeah, it's just every comment I've seen on Facebook regarding that has involved marshmallows.
Yep. All right, Joseph, what would you like to close out with?
Just I'd like to reiterate what Kelly said. I mean, this it's not over, and for me, I kind of, it's almost like what's the expression? I'm losing my English. The last rush. We should continue the attack. I don't want to call it an attack, but I mean, just continue in this vein. Don't fall back.
Keep the pressure up.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's really working. I mean, and this has to continue. Just keep the momentum, is what I want to say.
Yeah, turn those balls into unwavering obedience. I can't resist.
Funny you should put that one there. So, Unrenowned Tech, what would you like to close up with?
You hear all this self-righteous talk, all this I'm better than you crap from all these various groups, not just Christianity. You name them. They're all out there.
Just because I say so.
Right, exactly. Attempting to speak from a position of authority, figureheads, whatever. I'll tell you what.
Believe me.
I'll tell you what. When you work to find every unemployed person a job, when you find every homeless person a home, every broken family healing, and every hungry mouth a little bit of food, which I think I already said, but it's worth mentioning twice, and are successful, highly successful at that, then you can start telling me about how much good you do in this world. And how much your opinion matters. Other than that, fuck off.
Fair enough. And for my closing, I'm not going to take the final word on this one myself. I am going to have one other gentleman come on to pass along what my thought is. And assuming that he gets the invitation and gets his ass over here quickly enough. He said he was ready. Sent him a goddamn thing. Am I going to have to send him the link over on Skype instead? Pain in my ass. Ah, there we go.
Hi!
Hi, Jake.
Hey!
Hello.
Jake Farwarton.
Oh, morning. No.
So, here's
.com podcast.
The very same. So, the reason why I wanted to get you earlier, Jake, was that I wanted to get a piece of information from you because of I know full well you've been watching it. All of the stuff that's been happening over here with the Supreme Court ruling with the equality for marriage, and instead of taking the finale, my final words for the show for tonight. I wanted to, since you chimed back over on me, I wanted to give it to you. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to say where you think, how much longer should it be before Australia is finally able to follow suit also?
One election. But can I, before I say that, can I just say...
Well, it's too late.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
I'm with you.
Y-M-C-A. Da, 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 Y-M-C-A.
But it's so positive, and wow. You just, I mean, on the one hand, I am so very, very happy for all Americans, gay, straight, transgender, intersex, whatever the L stands for.
you got to admit that that abbreviation is growing. It seems every other day they add another letter to it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering when they'll accommodate me.
Anybody not Christian.
Well, that's not true. I know plenty of gay Christians as well. But look, on the one hand, it's fantastic. Look, it really is amazing that all of these people, not only the people who have already been married, they will have their marriages recognized in states that didn't previously recognize their marriages, and they will have all of the same rights as any other married couple. But the other side of this is, of course, the new people that can get married. We're very happy for them as well. Sorry, the other side of this is that there are still so many goddamn countries that don't have it, and mine is one of them. And we are no closer than we were last week, despite Ireland allowing equality in marriage, despite the US, the Supreme Court ruling allowing equality in marriage, we in Australia do not have it. It's an unfortunate scenario, and I think we're only an election away, as I mentioned. I think we're only one single solitary election away, because frankly, I think it will be an election promise. Right now, we've got on the left and the right side of politics, the Labor Party in Australia and the Liberal National Party in Australia. The Labor Party is to the left, and the Liberal Party, the misnomer party, is to the right. And there is very little to differentiate one from the other. So I think it will end up being an election issue.
So more importantly, is it how's the social atmosphere? What's the social opinion over there?
So the survey says, to quote from American Family Feud, the survey says about 75% in support of legalization of same-sex equality in marriage.
So soon.
Really soon. That's why I say it's going to be the next election. And I honestly think, being a political junkie as I am, I dare say that it will become an election issue on the basis that the two major parties, have very little to differentiate themselves on. So I dare say the left side of politics, the Labor Party, will end up making it the thing that they do if they get elected in.
When is that election?
Well, we heard earlier this week that the Prime Minister's Chief of Staff, Peter Credlin, suggested in a leaked email that there's the potential that we'll have an early election as early as, sort of 2 months away. But it can be as far away as next November.
Look at it this way, Jake. As far as differentiation between the groups, one group has Joe Hockey, the other doesn't. So there you go. That's a big old callback. For some people who are actually listening to his show, you will get that joke. And Callie is smiling very large.
I'm still getting caught up for when I was out of town, so I'm working on it.
Fair enough. So, as always, everyone, thank you so very much for taking the time to watch our show. We know full well that we're not one of the top tiers, but we're certainly not in the basement by any stretch of the imagination. At the moment, I would also like to very quickly say a very large, large thank you to Jake for allowing me to use you as my speaking point at this point. Jake, thank you very kindly, and you have yourself a great afternoon. And plug yourself, would you please?
Yeah, sure. Imaginary Friends Show. ImaginaryFriendsShow.com.
I was trying so hard not to do that.
Oh, Kelly's there. I didn't hear Kelly's.
Yes, hey, I'm here.
We've kidnapped your co-host.
Oh, hey.
I can't look down because I'm driving. but
please don't die.
I thought texting while driving was bad. Now we got podcasting while driving? Damn.
Sir,
you win.
Just don't tell the Australian Federal Police.
Yeah.
So
if we hear the sirens, we deny everything.
So it's the imaginary Finch show Don't Come Podcast.
Yep, that's it. Spell that as you will.
Yes. And if you're going to go to the back catalog, remember, it's episode 262. That's the important one.
Where you make some appropriate jokes, yeah.
Yeah, and Jake absolutely fucking loses his shit. Oh, my God. Yes, we finally learned the truth that the doctor had said that if you'd ever finally realize that it was Nick's show,
yes,
you would absolutely lose your shit and it would be so
bad.
That
was that was so good. Oh my God, it was so good.
So remember, this episode 262. It'll be fun and worth it. Which reminds me, of course, Callie, thank you, hun, so much. I will make sure that if next time I let you know about one of these, I will let you know date, time zones, and make sure you got it all. Thank you so much, hon. Plug
yes,
everything.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. So my show is called The Gaytheist Manifesto. We talk about the intersection of atheist and LGBT activism. Facebook.com/TheGaytheistManifesto. You can search The Gaytheist Manifesto on iTunes and Spreaker and find us there. I'm at Gaytheist Callie on Twitter, and I'm Callie Wright on Facebook. So there's all of that. And I love you, Jake.
I love you too. And listeners, this show of Callie's, greatest show in the world. Yeah.
Oh,
it really
come
is.
On.
It's really great.
Thank you.
Right behind mine, right? Right?
Yeah, literally right behind.
Yeah.
That's just because it's alphabetical. Anyway, Jake, just to be on the safe side, since you are driving, I'm actually going to suggest you get the hell out of here and drive.
It's very legal what I'm doing. I've got you on hands free. I'm not driving illegally.
Okay.
Okay. So, I really am.
All right. Nope.
Thank you for your concern, though.
Well, it's Elisa, and we
you
have
just to get rid of me. You bastard.
I actually am a retroactive bastard, but I'll tell you about that in a minute. I'm serious. But we did actually mention this before when you were on once before. You were going to go off to play footy with some guys one time before, and I commented how fucking amazing it is to think that you are on your little device wherever the hell you are, driving off to wherever, and here we are, and we are conversing real time and could even be face-to-face quite literally, and how fucking amazing that is.
Yeah. All of that is true.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the idea that you've got opposable thumbs to do this all with, thank you so much. So, Bridget, thank you, hon, so very much. You plug anything and everything you'd like. You know what? Hold that thought a second. Jake, one of these days, would you allow me to talk with Crystal so that we can find out all the dirt that we can? Would you allow that?
No.
Yeah, okay. That's what
I do it anyway.
Well, the only thing that I have to plug is this vlogcast here. And if you want to read my blog that deals with spiritual abuse and religious abuse and mental health issues, my blog is bridgetfitch2112.wordpress.com. And that's all my things.
Thanks. Arino Tech, you take care of yourself. Good morning. Sleep well. I'm sure that you will.
Oh, absolutely. Just need some porn.
I'm sure we can come up with something for you eventually. Joey? Good morning. You take care of yourself. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon. Joey?
You already fell asleep.
He's on mute.
Are you muted?
He is muted.
He's muted.
I'll come back around to you in a moment. Joseph?
Yeah.
Nothing,
nothing to plug, but cheerio, and see you next week.
Oh my gosh, that mustache.
Dude, pay attention to the road.
Pay attention to the road.
You have something to say about it.
Oh, it's glorious.
He wants to write it.
It is glorious. You know, yesterday, Joseph, I had the pleasure of recording with Nick. He was in my recording studio yesterday. We were recording the first episode of our new podcast together, and his beard. I mean, I'm just so jealous because now I'm a beardless man.
Yeah.
And I'm just so jealous of what he's got going on all over his face. But frankly, I think you are. Oh my goodness! Look at that glorious thing on your face.
Yeah, I give Nick some mustache tips. It takes dedication.
You need to give him three more.
Hey Jake,
it does.
If you want a really good beard, stop shaving your mangina.
Is my mangina on my face? Is that the joke?
Yeah, I hear crickets chirping.
I did a joke that went over even Jake's head. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, what is a mangina?
We have
to explain it to you later, Joseph.
And where do you put it?
We'll tell you when you're older, hon.
There's a Merkin joke in there somewhere.
Oh, Cali, you fucking... again, you go ahead and scoop me. Thank you so very much. Jake, fuck you. Dallin, good night. I'll see you soon. Next week, at least, and then a week after that.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I won't be here next Saturday because by this time next Saturday, I will either be in Pittsburgh or I'll be en route to said city. And I'll be there for 2 weeks. So, and then after that, when I fly back home, I'll be flying back out to Ontario and then back home again. And then, pretty much this is the last y'all going to see me for about a month.
Oh.
We'll try to keep the seat warm for you. Chris, thank you, of course, as always. You have yourself a great morning.
I will do. Nothing in particular to plug this week, but it's been great to be here. And hopefully we can finish this Cards Against Humanity game after the show.
Absolutely. We're gonna continue that and finish off because it's just going to be too fucking funny. In the meantime, if you are watching live, if you would like to come into the Hangout and hang out with us for it all, just put a message over in the in the comments right over here, and I will pull you in. If you're watching from the future, don't bother because it's not going to work, and you're just going to annoy me, and I'm just going to look at it and go delete. But thank you all.
You're a bitch.
Yes, yes, I am. This coming from the guy that was intentionally pulled in here to talk on a topic he didn't even know anything about.
Remember, he's a retroactive bitch.
No, it's bastard. That's different. You know what? Since really quickly, my parents were married. I was born. After about 30 years, my mom filed for divorce. She got it. My dad, not to be outdone, paid approximately $5,000 to the Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn, New York, in order to get an annulment 30 years later. Ergo, I am a retroactive bastard because the marriage was annulled. Never happened. Fuck you, Dad. Sweet. Fuck you.
You don't exist.
That's pretty much it, yeah. So there you go, Jake. I'm a retroactive bastard. Use that as you will. And you know, you got nothing now, do you?
I've got so much, Michael. I got so much Shujin, sorry. I've got so much Shujin.
Sorry.
I've spent my afternoon, because I'm becoming a wedding celebrant. I'm organizing my first marriage, which is cool. in August, and that's what I've been doing today. I've been organizing the vows for the first couple.
Wow. How spectacular! I'm gonna love to hear all about it. We sometime after you do this, I'd love to have you on to talk about it.
Anytime, buddy.
Except not in August on the day that is happening.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah. So, as always,
Or amazing.
Yes.
Live.
Oh, there we go. For the first time on Holy Crap the Vlogcast, a live wedding from Australia. And Jake's first one.
Let me tell you, it's actually really cool because the couple are from Germany. They're actually two of my lecturers from the master's degree I've just finished, and so their parents aren't able to come over for the wedding. So they're doing a Google Hangouts to bring them in, and they've reserved seats for them. So each of the parents will have their own seat, and they'll have it's really sweet. It's really sweet.
That is awesome.
That is fucking spectacular. Oh God, I can't wait to talk with you about this later.
That is just too cool.
Yeah. So that is so cool and wonderful. Thank you. All right, we will talk about that sometime in the near future. We'll probably see about setting that up sometime early September. But we got to get our asses on out of here because it's getting a little bit late, and I want to finish this goddamn game. And
I need somebody to tell me about the rules of Cards Against Humanity. I've got a pack. I don't know how to play, so hurry up and take this off live so you can tell me the rules.
Okay, rules are there ain't no rules. We will talk with you guys next week. Two weeks from now, there will be no show because Anthrocon. You don't know about it, don't worry about it. We'll explain it a little bit later. But for those of you that might be trying to get through the website currently, we know. There's a data transfer thing that screwed us all to hell. Somehow or other, the system says that 6 gigabytes of PHP script somehow, according to the system, got sent over to Dallin, which doesn't make a shit ton of sense. But I've got trouble ticket in with a group. We're gonna find out what happened with that. Meanwhile, Dallin, by the way, here is where you're supposed to start putting in the outro music, and we will talk with you guys again next week. To my wonderful, wonderful wife, I love you, Matane Fujin. Dream of me, and for all of you, until the next time we get together, everyone. Good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+ pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.